Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the show, everybody. I have to open this up with, have you ever kissed a herring?
Can't say that I have.
That's probably a good thing.
Huh?
Okay. I said that's probably a good thing. So we had to get that one little weird question out of the ether here. So welcome to tonight's show. We're talking about mermaids. So what's a mermaid? Good.
Did you hear the mermaid singing?
Yes, I did. Quite the siren there.
Mermaids, according to folklore.
Fork it. Stick a fork in it. Well,
I just
we're
lost
done.
My dentures and can't do a thing with them. according to folk, there I go again. According to folklore. we may never get this started here. According to folklore, a mermaid is a beautiful woman from the waist up and a fish from the waist down. Or at least they have a fish tail from the waist down.
Yes, that's correct.
They have an alluring song that can put a man, or sometimes a woman, under their spell.
Mm-hmm. And mermen are also known as merfolk, M-E-R-F-O-L-K, merfolk, yes. So, the folklore of mermaids and mermen basically came from our seafaring humans, pirates, early travelers, and shipping seamen. Oh, that sounded so wrong. I do apologize to everybody involved. they claimed to have seen these
sailors.
Creatures that resembled, sailors, there we go, that resembled human beings with fish tails, as Danae said. There's actually kind of an idea where that came from, and it involved a lot of rum and kissing manatees. I'm joking about kissing the manatees part, but rum definitely not. There is a theory that these merfolk, when they were seen way back when in our early days of traveling the oceans, that there may have been misidentified dugongs, sea cows, and manatees. And I'll tell you what, manatees are absolutely freaking adorable. That's why I put
a
picture of manatees.
So are dugongs and sea cows.
Yes, they are. And I got to tell you, I've actually been kissed by a manatee. If you call it kissing. Yeah. Way back 2001 or so, I was on an ecological studies trip at an old college I used to go to. And one of the things we were doing was swimming with manatees down in Florida. So I'm about the size of a baby manatee, so I fit right in with the group that we were swimming with. And they kind of say hello by bumping into you very gently and kind of rubbing their whiskers on you. And they are just so darn cute. They're so gentle. And one of the things I remember the most that really kind of shocked me was I remember thinking while I'm in the water with these animals, thinking, how do they communicate? They make high-frequency squeaks, and it sounds almost like a mouse. And it was just very interesting. I could hear that in the water. Oh, it was so neat. So you could say I've been kissed by a mermaid.
Well, you know how they got confused for half women, half fish? Well, they would often have seaweed on their heads. And from a distance to both a food-starved and a love-starved, lonely, possibly drunk sailor from a distance, that would look like. And how they got the idea of the half-woman, half-fish is, of course, when they would dive under the water, their tails would come out.
Yes. I'll be honest. I really hope I never get to the state where I see a life form like that and go, I want to hump it. That would be a really
bad
thing.
I know.
Yeah.
But we've never been that desperate before, and I hope we never do. We never are.
Here, manatee, I got some rum. No, honey, no. Don't do it. It's a bad idea.
Where's a narwhal when you need it? Spear this human for me. He won't leave me alone.
Oof. Wouldn't want to. Anyway, I have all these dirty jokes flying through my head. But anyway, I felt about her.
Behave, Frosty.
So, anyway. Throughout the years, there have been books about mermaids, the mythology, and also stories. There's been animated movies a la The Little Mermaid by Disney, which actually does not follow the Danish tale of The Little Mermaid very well at all, because it's a very sad, twisted, sadistic ending. Anyway, I have seen a few mermaid movies. There was one that Tom Savini did the special effects for that was a horror flick. I don't remember much about it at all, but I remember watching it, and I think there was some form of alcohol involved, but no, it wasn't rum. But one of the mermaid movies that actually stays the strongest in my mind is the movie Splash. Now, when I was a little young, and I think Splash came out in 84, between like 83 to 86, in that range, or maybe 87. I don't remember exactly, but
84, I believe. I was still at high school.
84. I was only 4 years old at the time. So
I'm quite a bit older than you, dear.
I keep forgetting.
I take that as a compliment.
You're very welcome. You know, it's just your voice sounds so young, and it's like, I keep thinking I'm older than you. Some days I feel it, though.
It's a pain, really, though. I mean, I'm 52 years old, and when I answer the phone, I get this, can you put your mommy on the phone?
It's like, honey, I may be old.
I am the mommy.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, finally, my laptop decided to finally reboot after 2.5 effing hours. Okay. So, just a little side note, I've been updating my main laptop, and it's been updating for 2.5 hours. But anyway, I got my backup one running. So Splash, yes, 4 years old. My aunt Angie, who is my grandmother's non-identical twin sister, because my grandmother had an identical twin sister, Josephine, would bring out some of the strangest movies at the age of 4 years old, 4 to 5 years old. I remember her bringing me to go see Fletch Lives with Chevy Chase or some movie like that. I asked, what does the name Chevy Chase mean? But anyway, back to Splash. All right, so I remember going to see the movie Splash with my aunt. I remember because I fell head over heels for Daryl Hannah, and I just went, wow, she's beautiful, which in this movie she is. And Splash was a cute...
Still is.
Yes. Splash is a cute, more family-friendly mermaid flick. You know, Tom Hanks is in it. John Candy was in it, too. And I think there were... I remember something about him, about John Candy being in, like, this strip joint or something where he put money in a thing and the wall would open up and there's this woman dancing. Or is that in the movie? Or am I lost?
I don't remember that in the movie. I mean, and I don't think it is, because that movie is pretty kid-friendly.
Okay. We will remove that from the conversation, Stark. That
I mean, John Candy was in the movie, but I don't remember him being in a strip joint.
Yeah, he was like slurping, rubbing up against the glass. I don't know. Maybe that's something else my aunt brought me to see that permanently damaged me. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, Splash is it's a cute, fun movie with decent special effects. There's a couple scenes that the one big scene that always sticks out of my mind is the dinner scene where Tom Hanks brings Daryl Hannah out dinner, and she like rips into this lobster like just like a shark would, and just, it freaks everybody out in the restaurant, and it's hysterical.
And Tom just looks around and does the same thing.
Exactly. You know it's true love when that happens. And I think there's a sequel called Splash 2, which was nowhere close to the original. Didn't see it. But yeah, Splash
either.
Is a fun flick. Daryl Hannah is absolutely beautiful in it. It's a very, very well-written, funny movie. And I think it was actually put on a Disney streaming service, and they kind of removed a scene, like, glossed over her butt cheeks or something like that. I don't remember specific. Yeah, it was.
I'll have to watch it again. I've got Disney Plus.
Yeah, it was on Disney Plus, and they kind of, like, digitally erased her butt in the scene, from what I've been hearing. But anyway, pun intended.
I remember her hair covering her boobs and her butt.
Well, it was just like a little quick flash of it or something. Yeah, it wasn't
One of my favorite parts is when they're in the electronics store and he asks her what her name is, and she goes, I'm going to try to do this as gently as possible because I don't want to hurt anybody's ears.
Hold on. Okay, go for it.
She makes this really loud squeal that shatters all the TV screens in the store. Excuse me. Oh, that hurt.
I had to pull my headset off because I knew exactly what you were going to do.
Of course, what I did pales in comparison to hers. It was this really high-pitched squeal. And like I said, all of the TV screens in the store shattered.
Yeah, it's got the 80s charm, and it's fun. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I think I've maybe rented it once or twice in the last, I'm going to be 40 in October, so over the last 36 years, I've seen it a couple more times. I mean, I may revisit it someday, and I had a good time with it. And also, that's where the herring question I asked came up, because I think there was a part where Tom Hanks kisses Daryl, and so, why did my lips taste like I kissed a mackerel or something like that? There's a lot of fish jokes.
Yeah, I don't remember them all, but I don't remember them exactly, but I do remember there was a lot of fish jokes.
Anyway, so there's a lot of, and also Peter Pan. I remember the original animated Peter Pan made by Disney has a couple mermaids in it, just as a flyby scene where they're waving at Peter like, "Hello, Peter, you're our man."
There were three of them, I think, and they tried to drown Wendy because they were jealous.
I think did they do that in the movie?
Huh?
Did they do that in the animated movie, or did they?
Yeah, in the animated movie, they kept trying to pull her in the water because they were jealous.
Gotcha. It's been a very long time since I've watched any Disney movies. I actually can't say that I don't have any Disney movies because I have a couple of them. Peter Pan's not one of them. The mermaids, actually, in film, they are fantasy, they're romantic, they're absolutely freaking terrifying, they'll eat men, terrorize the shores, all that stuff. But there's a good balance of scary and not scary movies when it comes to the mermaids. Now, what was the one that you...
Go ahead.
Oh, you go ahead. I'm okay.
I don't know where the cannibalism part came from, because I knew that they weren't as sweet and innocent in folklore as they were in some of the movies, but I've looked through the legends, and the only time that I come across a mermaid as appearing as malevolent is that when she will grab a young man and take him underneath, and he ends up drowning, which is bad, but I don't think she intended to kill him. I mean, I think she just, forgot that he couldn't breathe underwater like she could. And then there were other ones where she would kidnap a man, take him underneath the water, and eventually he would turn into a merman.
Right.
So, not all of some of the stories are malicious, but they're not cannibalistic. Although, to be honest, I kind of like the cannibalistic aspects. I like the idea of them being sweet and innocent creatures, but I also like the concept of them being apex predators.
Ah, yeah. Yep. And a lot of in the different movies and the different examples of mythology, sometimes mermaids can go on land and, you know, their rear fins switch over to human legs. Other stories, it's other stories, they are unable to do that, but they can, like you said, actually convert a male or female into a human, into the merfolk. Or there's also been tales, I think, of female mermaids trying to get romantic with male humans or female humans to propagate the species.
Yeah.
As in, like, brown, brown, brown.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry I keep doing that to you.
That's part of our dynamic. Don't worry about it. Don't you worry about it at all.
I'm not trying to be rude.
I know. And also, sometimes the mermaids are used for extreme shock value. And you're probably wondering, what is he talking about? There is a Japanese film, part of the Guinea Pig series. I'm not going to go into great detail about it, but let me just say it is, for me, it was just like, dude, that was awesome. But for many, many other people who I've actually shown this film to, they no longer speak to me because of it. Which is probably for the better.
I know which one you're talking about.
Yep.
Mermaid in a manhole.
Yep.
I've seen clips from it.
Yeah, I have it on an official release DVD. It's gooey. I'm going to say that. It's definitely gooey. It's basically a man finds a mermaid in the sewer. It brings her home. And she has some form of illness that is giving her cancerous lesions, and she's beginning to rot while still alive, and it's really nasty, but really, really, really cool at the same time. I look at it, when I say it's really cool at the same time, it's mostly for me because of the special effects factor and some other, I'm trying my best to throw anything, but here there's a huge twist at the end. And I remember the first time I saw it, my jaw hit the floor, and I just went, that was freaking brilliant. I see exactly what happened there. I love it. And then, you know, showing this to my friends, and they're like, don't come over here anymore. I should say, actually, they're like, you should stay home. Okay.
Meanwhile, I'd be going, you got any more?
that's the thing about the Guinea Pig series. It's like, the special effects for the time and also the subject matter for the time in the late 80s, early 90s, freaked the F out of a lot of people, including Charlie Sheen, who reported these movies as one of these movies as an actual snuff film, but if she actually watched the credits, nothing bad actually happened. It was all special effects, and they showed how they did it after the movie.
But anyway,
yeah, crazy stuff. Either you love them, you hate them, or you chuckle all the time because you're freaking out on the inside.
Well, to be honest, I've heard about them. I've not actually seen them. They don't really appeal to me because now the mermaid one might be different, but they don't really appeal to me because it just seems like there's no real storyline. It's just a girl and a guy are kidnapped and they're tortured to death, and it's like a faux snuff film, and that doesn't really appeal to me. I mean, I like a story with my work.
Well, the thing is that there's actually two movies like that out of the entire series. Flower, Flesh, and Blood and The Devil's Experiment. Those we won't talk about. But the other ones, Mermaid in the Manhole, has got a specific plot. He Never Dies is actually a pretty decent comedy. Then there's Android of Notre Dame, which is just... Then there's Devil Doctor Woman, which is so gross, but it's the squeamish gross that makes it giggle. And plus, you can't exactly tell what the main character is. And I'll let everybody ponder it. And no, she is not a mermaid. We'll leave it at that.
There's only one mermaid in the series, and unfortunately, she's deceased.
Oh boy, tell me about it. So, do you have a movie or two you want to talk about?
Okay, well, first of all, we'll get the bad out of the way. I was wanting to watch one that I hadn't seen before with fresh eyes to discuss, and I rented this interesting sounding movie called Mermaid Isle off of Fandango, and I watched the trailer and I'm like, cool, so paid the $4, and it had such a good premise, but it was wasted because not only the acting wasn't that bad, it's just the characters were awful. I mean, they were dumb, they were unlikable. And there's this one girl that's along that you wonder why she's there because no one likes her, and she's incredibly unlikable. They're all stupid. The movie's only like an hour and 8 minutes long or something like that. And things don't get really cooking until like the last 30 minutes, and then it just... There's no payoff, really. But what it's about is these four friends go on a boating trip to this island where there's this lake, and it has a sign that says stay out of the lake, but it's, like, pushed out way in the woods so no one can see it. Well, one girl falls in the water and gets bit by something. And it turns out that it was a mermaid, and the weird thing is that for some reason, if a mermaid bites you, you die, and then you turn into a mermaid, like vampires. But it's just, they didn't really go with the premise real well. It was basically stupid people doing stupid things, and they had a plot thread that went nowhere. They just came out of the blue and went nowhere. And I was just like, and it was mercifully short, but it didn't really seem short.
So now, this is going to be a really silly analogy. So basically, in this movie, the mermaids are like werewolves and vampires. Once you're bitten, you become.
Yeah.
Or zombies. Zombie mermaid? Actually, I think that was a...
But only the women. They ate the men and turned the women. So you only had female mermaids.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. That's kind of an... That's, And that would have been an interesting twist if they actually did it right.
Yeah, so basically they propagate like vampires do, not through having babies, but through infecting people.
Huh. I'm actually curious. It was just kind of a boring movie, so it's not really worth watching at all, you think?
I don't know. This is the thing. I hate to not recommend movies I dislike because someone else might like them.
I agree with that to a point. Like House Shark. I know people who absolutely love House Shark, and I'm just kind of sitting here in the dark, shaking my head going, no. But, you know, in my opinion, it was not a very good movie.
Me neither. Remember, we turned it off during the live watching. We've never done that before and probably will never do that again.
Right. I mean, it was a special type of bad. I actually ended up watching the rest of it alone and just, I think I remember saying on the podcast, I actually paid $10 for the DVD for this. Boo. I mean, there were a couple giggles.
That was
there were a couple
too
references.
Much.
Yeah.
That was $10 too much.
Yeah, but like I said, there are other people who enjoy it. It wasn't for me. Does that make me a bad critic?
That's what critique and criticism, whatever you want to call it, what it's about is about your opinion.
Exactly.
So, no, you're not a bad critic.
Yeah, I'm going to actually start doing that. I mean, with everything that's been going on, I actually want to get back into review. I actually want to start reviewing movies again and, like, actually adding things to my YouTube channel and doing all sorts of stuff. But I think my couch is falling apart. Yeah, it's falling apart. Oh, damn it. Sorry about that. I was just out of nowhere.
So now I want to talk about, oh, by the way, if you do want to see it, I wouldn't recommend paying the $3.99 for it. I would try to wait and see if it's either on Prime, if it gets on Prime, or if you can find it on one of the free movies like Tubi or Popcorn Flicks.
Gotcha. Okay. Or Fright Picks, if they're still around.
Fright Picks. Yeah, one of those. I wouldn't pay the $4 for it, though.
So now,
I want to talk about a movie that is, well, actually, you're not, if you have Amazon Prime, you're not going to lose anything on it if you don't like it, but it's called Mermaid Down, and it is actually an excellent, excellent movie, and it's a different take on it.
Ooh, cool.
Anyway, it's about this young mermaid who gets caught by a couple of fishermen. And what they do is when they throw her into the cargo hold or whatever they call it, where they store the fish, they cut her tail off. But eventually she grows legs and she ends up in this halfway house for mentally and emotionally troubled girls. And she's grown legs, but she can't use them. She can only speak in sign language. She said that sailors or pirates taught her sign language. And the psychiatrist, the head of the home, he is using her as some kind of experiment. And basically, she gets to know the girls, and she has a very positive effect on the girls, so they conspire to help her escape. that it's a really, really good movie. It gets dark in places, but I wouldn't call it a horror movie.
It does sound really good, though.
The weird thing, though, and I'm not really spoiling anything by saying this, but it takes this odd turn towards the end and becomes like a slasher movie.
Really?
Ooh. Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm just sitting here going, what? Boy, this came, I mean, it didn't spoil it for me. It was just like, this came out of nowhere.
Very cool. Very cool indeed. I remember, I finally remember the name of, there was a mermaid movie that I saw on the Sci-Fi Channel, and it was, I thought it was really, really good. It's called She Creature, She-Creature. And it's about this, it's back in the time of the old wood, like big wooden ships and everything. It's about these explorers or a team of pirates or whatever. They go kidnap a mermaid. And the thing is, the mermaids have got two different forms. They have the, you know, the half woman, half fish. And then they have the 8 foot tall, I'm going to eat your face and rip your arms off and beat you with them type monster.
The
it was a
of the
good
lair.
Flick. Yes. Yeah. And I would definitely suggest that one. It was on DVD for a while. I remember trying my hardest to find it on DVD, and I couldn't. And all of a sudden, it's like, out of nowhere, I found it at a pawn shop here in Utica for a buck. I'm like, dude, thank you. There you go. Thank you very much.
I have it on both VHS and DVD. Of course, I got this a long time ago. I saw it, it was either Showtime or Cinemax had this Roger Corman Presents or Creature Features or something where they would take the title of a 50s movie and then make something totally different from it. And
yes.
That's when I saw the Sea Creature. And I think it was then that my fascination, well, of course, I've been fascinated with them from a little kid, but, you know, because, you know, the Little Mermaid I was exposed to were the animated and claymation versions of the original Hans Christian Andersen tale. I was a teenager or a young adult when the Disney one came out. But anyway, I'd always been fascinated by the story of the Little Mermaid, and the thing about the she creature is it's the first time I ever saw the dark side of the legend.
Oh yeah, it's really, really cool. And there, and like you said, it was in name only related to the original 1950 something, I don't remember the exact year, she creature with the reptilian prehistoric female monster designed by Paul Blasdale. He makes, you can, or I don't, maybe I'm wrong with first name, but last name is Blasdale. And he always makes these obnoxiously large costumes and really cool monsters. I think he did It Conquered the World? No. He did a whole bunch of movies. Let me just be a second here. But yeah, the
nicknamed
the
Mammary Monster. Oh, did you see Galaxy Quest?
Yes.
Did you notice that the lead alien and looked a lot like the Mammary Monster?
Yes. Okay, Blasdale Monster. Paul Blasdale, I was correct. He did the monsters designed for It, Terror from Beyond Space. He also did the Invasion of Saucer Men, He Conquered the World, and he also did the Walking Tree Topanga, and From Hell It Came. So yeah, you can definitely see his monster designs. They're very, very good. And the original She-Creature from the 50s, I remember watching this multiple times. The reptilian creature that a woman regresses into when she's hypnotized, it's like, I would say a proto, as in before, mermaid type thing. And it's really neat looking. If you get a chance, definitely take a look at the, if you go on Google and take a look at a Paul Blasdell sea creature. It is the coolest looking thing when it comes
to
the ocean. So, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't have a fish tail or anything, but it was definitely amphibious, like the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah, it's really cool, really, really cool. I'm not sure if I actually have the X Plus statue of the she creature someplace. I'm not sure, but I know I have one of his other designs as an actual like 12 inch to 18 inch tall statue. Packed up someplace. But it's so
cool.
It's a fun flick. Please, please, please check it out.
There was also remade later as The Creature from Destruction, and I believe it's been a while since I've seen it, but I believe they use the same suit.
They use parts of it. Yeah, they use parts of it because the suit was beginning to degrade. But yes, you are completely right about that.
Guess my memory's not as bad as I thought.
Your memory is very good.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Not bad for an old lady.
You're welcome. Danae and I were talking before the show. We've actually decided to extend the mermaid topic over two more shows at least. we're going to have this first show like we're doing tonight with the introduction, actually talking about the mermaids and mermaid movies and everything. And we're actually going to do two live watches after this, after this evening. Danae is going to pick a movie and we're going to watch and do a live commentary on it. And then I'm going to pick a movie and we're going to do live watch and commentary. And I'd like to try and tackle Night Tide because it's a Dennis Hopper movie and there may be a mermaid involved or there may not be a mermaid involved. And I have this movie in all of those, you know, the public domain, you know, 50 movie collection, 10 movie collection, 100 movie collections by Mill Creek and Echo Bridge and all those. I've never watched it, so I thought we'll do that one.
Cool. It's been a while since I've seen it. I would love to revisit it. Mine will be this Polish flick called The Lure. It's basically it's a horror musical with bits of The Little Mermaid thrown in.
Are we talking like horror musicals and like Happiness of the Katakuris or like more serious?
Oh, no. It's got a few funny bits in it, but no, it's not a comedy. It's not a comedy at all.
Very cool. Yeah, I've heard it's a very good movie. I know Carl's talked about it a few times and he said it was really good. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Hopefully he can join us for that one.
Yeah, I'm going to see... Is it on Prime? It's on Amazon Prime.
It's the rent. It's not...
Oh, that's okay. I've actually been saving up some money for a video rental, so we're good to go for that one.
I would really like to own it one day.
Yeah, me too. Well, I got to watch it first. We'll see how it goes.
Now, you asked me before the show why I'm so drawn to mermaids. And it's kind of hard to explain, but ever since I was little, I was always attracted to the other. In other words, I was always fascinated by dragons, wizards, witches, unicorns, Pegasus, fairies, all kinds of things like that. And I would, mythic like the Greek and Norse gods, and I was always fascinated with mythology and folklore. There I go again. Folklore. I don't know why I keep saying folklore. I must be hungry. Not that I want to eat a fork, but I want to eat something with a fork. Anyway. I was like, you know, I'm drinking a wine cooler right now, but I've only had one and it's almost gone, so that can't be the reason. Remember I was doing this at the start?
Yes, that's okay. No worries.
All right, we will try this again. Sorry for the interruption, folks. We'll try this again. I have always been fascinated by mythology and folklore. There, I said it. And mermaids are often considered, I don't know why, but they're often considered a subspecies of fairies. But I've always been fascinated by the fact that, you know, first of all, they're always beautiful, they're always young, they seem kind of free-spirited, and it's really, really odd that I would be attracted to a water creature, because I don't swim well at all. And unless it's like, I mean, if it's a man-made lake or a pool, I'm fine. But there is no way in hell I would ever want to go out into an ocean or in a huge lake that feeds out in the ocean. I'm terrified of things like sharks and gators. And plus, like I said, I don't swim that well. But I often fantasize. Of course, I know it'll never happen, of course, because mermaids don't exist. And even if they did, there's no way I could become one. But I often fantasize about being a mermaid or even playing one in a movie. So
very cool.
I guess I don't. And, you know, of course, the astrologists, which I don't believe in astrology, but astrologists would probably say it's because I'm an Aquarius, which is a water sign, which is ironic because I can't swim.
Yeah, I can understand the fascination with the aquatics. I actually am personally terrified, absolutely terrified of sharks. I had a close encounter with an 8-foot bull shark down in the Florida Keys, and it kind of put the fear of shark. I mean, I came out of it okay, you know, no injuries. Everybody who else was involved came out okay, there were no injuries, but still, it scared the shit out of me, pardon my language, for being lower on the food chain than, you know, humans are on top of the food chain on land. Without a doubt, when you're in the water, not so much. So,
and bull sharks. Sorry, I did it again.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Bull sharks can go between salt and fresh water. And also, bull sharks are incredibly aggressive. Everybody seems to be really super scared of great whites, but it's the bulls, the hammerheads, and the tiger sharks that you really need to be scared of.
Right. So I will never go in the ocean beyond the water level over my ankles. It's just, it freaked me out that much. I respect sharks. I want them to be part of our ecosystem until the end of time. I absolutely adore cheeseball shark movies. And I still love the ocean, just I'm not going in there. And, if any of our listeners...
Go ahead.
If any of our listeners are into mythological creatures and all sorts of, let's call it the mystical bestiary, there's actually a book I would suggest everybody should go and look up. It's a thick, huge book, and it's the Element Encyclopedia of Magical Creatures. I was able to get a hardcover of it and softcover from Barnes & Noble. I got it on sale, when I was quite a few years ago. And it was one of my favorite reads because I love encyclopedia formatted books with factoids and everything. And it's got stuff in there like basilisks, mermaids, of course, every kind of critter you can think of that's a mythological creature or part of Earth, of any type of folklore, it's in there. They even have a chapter on, it's called Dangerous Critters, which are like, you know, the Hodag and the Chupacabra stuff from America. And it's really cool.
Awesome. Why don't I own that book?
Well, it was one of those books that's always in like the New Age section next to the Wicca stuff and the tarot cards and all that. So, you know, I would actually put it, well, I didn't put it anywhere because it's a fantastic book. And I literally read it cover to cover. And I got it back in 2007.
Awesome.
Oh, it is. It's such a good book.
It seems like I need to do some Amazon shopping.
Well, let me pull it up here. Amazon price for you can get on. Oh, geez. Yeah, it's way out of print. You can get on Kindle. Do you have a? Does your little Amazon tablet there? Does it have a Kindle? Kindle app.
It's a Kindle
Fire. You can get it for $3.99 on your Kindle.
No, that sounds reasonable.
Hardcover is $269.83. Paperback is $154.93.
Cool.
There's somebody who's actually selling the new paperback for $412.66. So I would definitely go for the Kindle.
Good luck on any takers.
I would either hit up eBay or get the Kindle version for $4.
Well, I'm actually in the middle of reading. I haven't finished it yet, but it seems good so far. But I'm actually in the middle of reading a book about mermaids, a novel called Into the Drowning Deep.
Ooh, that's a.
It's about a girl who goes with it. Huh?
I said that's a deep sounding title. I had to do that joke.
I got to get my boots on. It's getting deep in here. Anyway, it's about a marine biologist who. Goes with the crew of the ship to find out what happened to her sister, who was on a previous voyage doing a documentary on mermaids for this network called Imagine Entertainment. Basically, she's going to find out what happened. There's video footage where it looks like some kind of mermaid creature did it, killed everybody. And the network is trying to suppress it. The military put it out there. So they're going out there to find out what, no bodies were found or anything. So they're going out there to find out exactly what happened. And, you know, I'm pretty sure they're going to discover more than they ever wanted to know. And they also have a prequel called Rolling in the Deep, which is supposed to be about what happened to the previous ship.
Ah, interesting. You know, that kind of reminds me of a stunt that the Discovery Channel pulled a few years ago. They did a, air quotes, documentary on mermaids, and they kept on showing for the advertisers that are saying, mermaids are real, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And that kind of started a bad phase that Discovery Channel was going through. They actually made several fake documentaries with fake professors, fake everything, saying Megalodon still exists and everything. I cannot confirm or deny whether or not Megalodon does exist. I have not personally seen one, but it's a bad phase that Discovery Channel went through, and they made a mockumentary, let's call it that, that mermaids exist. And at the end, like the final 20 seconds, like, yeah, this was a work of fiction. Sorry, everybody.
Didn't Animal Planet do one called Mermaids, the Body Found?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. And Animal Planet's owned by Discovery Channel. So
there was another one out there. Cool. So the reason why I asked is because there's another one out there called Mermaids Exist. So I thought maybe you were talking about that one.
Yeah, I think there one was for Animal Planet, one was for Discovery Channel, but Discovery Channel owns both channels, so yeah, they're both related.
Yeah, they got into a lot of hot water about that.
Yeah, especially the Megalodon one, because they were using footage of a seven-gill shark. I'm familiar with seven-gill sharks because I actually read books about them when I was younger, that they claimed was a 40-foot Megalodon attacking underwater submersible. Now, your seven-gill shark maxes out at about, 12, 14 feet at the most. And this was a small one. You could tell that the perspective was forced. And they're saying, it's attacking the sub when it's just kind of like there. And, Discovery Channel got in some hot water over that, too.
Yeah, well, that whole group, A&E, Biography, History Channel, they've all gone downhill. They might as well be called the fake reality networks.
The unreality shows. It's like Ancient Aliens. Well, it could be aliens, but it was. What? And there's so many spoofs of that guy with the hair going, aliens. Yep, so many memes.
Actually, not unattractive. Too bad he's a cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah. Yeah, I was actually tempted to pick up like the six or seven seasons of Ancient Aliens, but then I just kind of went, yeah, I don't know. I'll be honest with you.
You want to know what really pissed off my ex-husband? That Chariot of the Gods book and the movie that went with it.
Really?
Oh, it pissed him. Yeah, it pissed him off. Because basically he found it insulting because, granted, I know there's this whole thing, the periods were not built by slave labor, but yes, they were built by slave labor. Maybe they had some free men working on it, but a lot of it was built by slaves, and he felt like it was an insult to the people who died building those things to say that they were made by aliens. Also, and I can understand where he's coming from because he also felt insulted because it's like it was saying human beings aren't smart enough to come up with stuff like this.
We're pretty much smart enough. I have my doubts nowadays about everything, about some stuff that's been going on, but that's neither here nor there. But, yeah, I mean, the idea of having outside help or extraterrestrial help in creating some of these feats of human labor, it's really kind of cool. And there's always that big what if. But yeah, the pyramids were made by humans. There, we did find a bunch of sunken cities. So there's your Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
The Great Wall of China was made by people. Pyramids are people. The big Easter Island heads made by people.
Stonehenge was made by people.
Yep. I mean, how am I going to say this? Nessie and Bigfoot back in the day, I definitely believe that they existed. Aliens, not so much. Because technically every UFO is identified by somebody somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, let's say you get somebody pegs you in the back of the head with a tomato. You were technically hit by an unidentified flying object because you don't know what the item was that hit you until you look back and it's like, oh, that's a tomato. But at the time when it was
exactly.
flying, you didn't know it was there.
UFO, see, people automatically hear UFO and they think spaceship, but UFO stands for unidentified flying object.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is usually a weather balloon or a shooting star or something.
Well,
but anyway.
Yeah, the whole Roswell thing, and then Velcro and titanium came out of that. I don't know.
Now for our next topic, mermaids on the moon. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Well, there were Nazis on the moon, and there were Nazis at the center of the Earth.
Wait, oh, I knew they were at the center of the Earth, but were they on the moon? Oh, that was
Iron Sky,
wasn't it? Okay.
Yes, it was. Yeah,
I knew they were somewhere in space. I haven't seen the movie. I've just heard about it. And they've got the sequel on Netflix.
The sequel's done?
Yeah. The sequel to Iron Sky is on Netflix.
Nice. I gotta watch it then. I gotta watch it. Oh, boy, do I gotta watch it. Because
Go ahead.
I enjoyed Iron Sky. Okay, moving on.
I need to see that. Anyway, though, there's also a subset, actually another species of mermaids that from Ireland. They're called Merrows. And from what I hear, from what I read, actually, not what I hear, the Merrows, the females, like other mermaids, are incredibly beautiful, but the men are hideous, which is the reason why the Merrows are always trying to go for human men, and the male Merrows take human women by force because their own women won't have anything to do with them. So,
right.
Yeah. But there's also a folk legend where the females, they don't say anything about the males, but a female Merrow wears a certain kind of cap. And she can take her cap off and go on land and become a human woman. And if a man can hide her cap, he can capture her and make her marry him. But eventually, if she finds the cap, she will put it back on and return to sea.
Reminds me of an old Norwegian legend or Scandinavian legend about her, either trolls or a sail. Gosh, I can't remember which one it was. I know there's trolls that disguise themselves as humans but the only way you can tell that they're trolls is because their eyes look a certain way, and according to the legends, my eyes look a certain way, but I'm not a troll. I think if you remove troll's tail or the fail's tail,
you're too handsome to be
sorry,
a troll.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's either that or with the fail, you remove the tail or something. I don't remember. It's been a long time since I've dove into my mythology and occult stuff.
Oh, that reminds me of this Norwegian movie called Tale. It's spelled T-H-L-E, but I found out it was pronounced Tale. And
yes.
it's about a Huldra that is captured.
Oh, yes.
And they do all these horrible, painful experiments on her. They cut off her tail, and they do all these experiments on her to make her more human-like.
Yes, I've seen it. It's actually quite good. I've seen it like four or five times, and I enjoyed it that much.
I've been waiting for the sequel forever.
I'll be honest with you, the Norwegian films, either they're really, really good or they're really, really bad. There's no like pleasant in between with Norwegian movies. It's like, oh God.
I've seen Swedish and I've seen Danish and Finnish, but I don't. The only Norwegian movie I've seen that I know of is Tully, and I think I've seen another one. I don't mean to sound tacky, but my Scandinavian films kind of run all together sometimes.
They do that. They do that so much. Like, I've seen Kill Bill Joe, which is like the Laplander version of Kill Bill, and it was just, there was a couple of chuckles, but the rest of it was just like either borderline way too far to the point of being disgusting, like even for me, and the humor just wasn't there. Then there was Kon-Tiki. Kon-Tiki is the, I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he rafted from Norway, like across the seas on a raft. And the raft was called Kon-Tiki. And there's the Kon-Tiki Museum in Oslo, which unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it last time I was there, 2012. But the movie is fan-freaking-tastic. And then there's Tali, which was just so good. It was so good.
Oh, it was. I love it.
I'm going to have to see if I can get that up. Oh, I got hiccups on Blu-ray.
Oh, and I wasn't trying to sound like a know-it-all. I just, I know, I look at it, and I want to say, foul.
Oh, have you seen Troll Hunter?
No, I've always wanted to see that, but I haven't yet.
Troll Hunter is really good, too. I highly
suggest. Is it that Norwegian?
It is. It is very Norwegian. Troll Hunter is a very good movie. It's kind of like, I want to say Blair Witch, found footage, troll movie, but there's actually really a good amount of humor in it. I'll tell you, Scandinavian humor is twisted, as if you didn't know. Just remind everybody, I am half Norwegian and half Italian. Just my humor is very, very sick sometimes. I admit it. But yeah, Troll Hunter is really good. Really, really good. I would suggest anybody who wants to see a good monster flick, watch Troll Hunter.
Cool.
Yes, yes, it is. But yeah, I've seen a lot of Scandinavian movies. The original Insomnia, I think the one without Pacino, was either Swedish or Norwegian. And then there's this weird movie called Smila's Sense of Snow, which is like really hard to find nowadays. I watched with my mom. It's an Icelandic film. It's like a murder investigation, but then it gets into like these parasites and all this sci-fi edge to it. It's really neat at the end. It's a really good flick altogether, actually.
Cool. Oh, by the way, I just want to mention something. There is a Russian movie out called Mermaid, Lake of the Dead. However, I was incredibly I didn't think it was that good of a movie to begin with, but I was really disappointed because the creature in it is not actually a mermaid. As a matter of fact, the original title of the movie was Rusalka, Lake of the Dead. Now, Rusalka, or Rusalki, plural, are Russian water spirits. They're not mermaids, but they do live in the water, and what they are is they are the souls of women who were drowned by force.
Ah,
so,
that was very good.
Yeah, so they're kin to mermaids in the sense that they live in the water. but they're not mermaids. And what they do is that they lure men to the water and drown them.
Vengeance. Very interesting. that sounds kind of
It wasn't that good of a movie, and it's another one of those. What was really frustrating about it? It's another one of those that had that wasted a good premise. It really did.
Yeah. Now I just had this movie pop in my head called Poseidon Rex. It's like a mermaid version of a T-Rex. I actually want to see
Poseidon Rex. No, it's not a mermaid version.
I know. That was a joke. That joke kind of flopped.
Now, there is a Piranaconda, which I have not seen one. So I like these cheesy asylum sci-fi movies. I can't help it. I'm not ashamed. But anyway, getting back to mermaids, there's also a TV show on the Freeform Network called Siren. That I'm really, really enjoying. It's about this town in Oregon called Bristol Cove, and it's off the ocean, big fishing industry, and it's also obsessed with mermaids because of some history that the founding fathers had with them. Well, a real mermaid actually ends up in all sorts of interesting situations occur. It's into the third season now, and it is really, really good. It's on Freeform. If you have Hulu, if you don't have cable but you have Hulu, you can watch it. If you do have cable and you have Hulu, then you can catch up on previous episodes. And, I mean, it's well acted. It's well acted. It's good storytelling, and It tackles a lot of issues. Like, it tackles environmental issues. It tackles topics of sexuality and being different. But you don't feel like you're being fed an agenda. You don't feel like you're being preached to.
That's good. It's entertainment. That's good. There's so much stuff that's out there now. It's just agenda. It's like, all right, you know, with everything that's going on the freaking planet right now, I need to disengage my brain and just enjoy myself. I don't need an agenda. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and here's the thing. There have been, like, for instance, George Romero's zombie movies tackled social issues. But yet, it was within an entertaining movie. So while you did get the gist of what he's trying to say, you didn't feel like you were hit over the head with it, and you got an entertaining movie. The message did not, you know, overwhelm the entertainment value. And that's what I really, really like about Siren.
Excellent. I'll have to check it out.
There's a tribe of mermaids in Alaska. And now, of course, you know, the tribes that we've had so far, they've got mermen and mermaids. Well, this tribe, they're all born female. And then in order to propagate, they choose someone to go into this special pool. And when they go into the pool, they come out male. And the main characters find out that this guy she was dating is a member of that tribe. And he says to her, "Does it bother you that I was born female?" And she says, "No." So to me, that kind of, it tackled the topic of transgenderism and, you know, transgender dating without, you know, the whole well, if you're not interested, you're transphobic and all crap like that. It just painted it as a regular relationship issue to overcome. It didn't hit you over the head with it.
Very cool. And, you know, that's actually based off of a real species of, actually there's several species of ocean fish that are mostly born female. And, you know, they'll get together, they stay in large groups. And in order for them to reproduce, some of the females will actually change their sex to males in order to propagate the species. That's actually based on a real fish.
Cool.
Yeah, I like it. Very cool.
Well, the funny thing is when I was watching that episode where the leader of the tribe, when she goes into pool and she comes out as this really hot male, and I'm like, can he stay that way? I mean, hey, the female version was hot, but, you know, I don't swing that way. I like the male version better.
Oh, very cool. Well, everybody, we've been going on here for quite a while, and that's good. Oh, it feels so good to be back in action. I've been having a lot of...
I've been missing it.
A lot of... Me too. I've been missing it big time, and I need to get my creativity drives back and running. Because of the whole situation in the world and, you know, working from home, it's been very, very, very stressful for me and for everybody else in the world too. But I've been struggling a lot with my depression and anxiety lately, actually since this whole mess started. And I haven't done anything creative. I haven't done any YouTube videos. I'm losing subscribers like crazy, which is fine. I'll get them back in the next day. But I need to do something creative. I'm so glad we're back to this. And I'm so glad that I was able to just tweak things a little bit so we can have our shows for quite a while longer. And I was working quite a bit too. So I mean, work has been keeping me sane, honest. Working hard, talking to my coworkers, going to virtual meetings. It's been pretty awesome. I have a huge tip for anybody who is getting like tons of anxiety right now. If you can use Zoom or Google Gatherings or whatever they're using now, I would actually, my company uses Zoom. We have no problems. We updated everything. We're good to go. But in order to see people right now and talk, use Zoom. If you're depressed and lonely, please just call somebody. You know, it's so crazy what's going on right now. If you need somebody, call. Somebody can call our show. We'll talk, no problem. I mean, just don't let the isolation get to you. And everything else is going on, job loss, things will get back to the way they should be eventually. You know, just be careful, stay safe, eat some good food, bake some cookies if you need to. Hell, get baked yourself. Smoke a doobie if you need to. Don't do anything too hard when it comes to drugs. Just relax, you know, take a chill. And don't lose yourself in anxiety and depression. It's the worst thing that can happen right now.
Yeah,
call friends. Hug and kiss your pets. Deep breath. Everything's going to be okay. It's going to take a while. Things are going to be scary for a while longer, but we're going to get through this. And And to be honest, if you want to express yourself, be creative. You know, I don't really suggest going on Facebook and doing ranting and raving because, stuff on Facebook usually doesn't go well. But, you know, paint something, draw, write, make. I mean, you don't need a $50,000 camera to do YouTube channel stuff. I use a camera that I paid $144 for 6 years ago. Or I use my cell phone. So, you know, it doesn't have, just remember, if you want to do something creative, don't get all uppity with yourself if it's not perfect. Don't worry. You'll get there. You'll build upon your skills. You know, It's been a long time since I've wrote. I wrote a website 2007? No, 2014. I've been wanting to write another website. Haven't done it yet. I think I've lost my skills, but they're still there. Just do something creative. If it's playing video games, play video games. If, you know, or make a blanket fort and watch cheesy monster movies and, you know, throw popcorn at your TV. Do whatever. Just make sure you feel better.
Exactly.
And, my morning, I won't even tell anybody. Well, I spoke to Danae before the show and told her how my morning was like this morning. We won't go there. So,
no.
But everything got better. You know, all chilled out. I've been working on my laptop. It's got the main one updating. Still got my backup one up and running. Had a couple of slices of pizza. Everything's just fine. So, okay. We will be back this coming Sunday. It's exactly 1 week from today at 8 o'clock, and we're going to be doing a live watch of The Lure. And then probably the week after that, we'll be doing a live watch of Night Tide. And we're going to have some fun. And we're going to be here for our listeners to enjoy. Anybody can call in. You know what? I keep saying everybody should call in, but you know what? I never give the phone number. Ugh. Okay. If anybody wants
to
call in.
Well, the phone number's on it's on the website.
Yeah, it's on the website. It's 703-676. Oh, never mind. That's the wrong one. It's 657-383-0397. That's the one. So, yeah, we're gonna have a lot of fun next week and the week after. And we invite anybody who wants to call in who wants to join us. And we're going to have good fun. We don't want any.
Exactly.
Okay. We don't want anybody calling in. I've had this issue before. I've had to, unfortunately, hang up on callers because there were extremely inappropriate things going on. But if you want to have fun with us in a positive way, please give us a call when we're watching these movies. And please join us. So.
Yes, if we are watching The Lure. So, if you want to go ahead and get you a copy, rent you a copy, buy you a copy, just whatever you do, do it legally, please. Please. The filmmakers and the distribution companies need our money right now more than ever.
Yes, they do. And I would like to do a show after our mermaid session has been fulfilled about what's been going on in the movie industry lately, and that type of thing. So we'll hit up on that after our mermaids. So everybody, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an awesome show. I'm so glad we got together tonight and everything worked out
Me too.
And we're going to be doing more shows. There may be a couple times where we may skip a weekend due to my work schedule or, you know, things going on. But we are going to be here as regularly as possible. Eat your Wheaties. We're back.
Right.
You
and we're going to get together and work out a schedule so we can have stuff planned ahead of time so that, you know, if you ever want to join us on our live watches, you'll be prepared ahead of time.
Yes, with my crazy schedule, I didn't get the actual information out about the show until this morning or this afternoon. I do apologize. That's completely on me. I dropped them all. I do apologize for that, everybody.
I was not fussing at you.
I know, but I do have to improve the timing of things and get our information out there a little bit earlier so people can plan on joining us. Okay, so in keeping up with the nautical theme, or actually I play the foghorn any which way because it's the show. So thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. Danae, as always, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for giving me this opportunity. I enjoy it.
Oh, you're so welcome. So we're going to call it this evening and Have a good night, everybody. Be safe. And related to this morning, I will say one thing. If you need to ever call animal control, please do so. If there's any animals that are sick or dangerous in your area, please call animal control or your local PD. All right. Have a good night, everybody.
And I will sing my siren song to everyone on the way out. Ooh.
All right.
Ooh, good night, everybody.
Good night.